The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, a reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord. Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt, too much of the scorn of the indolent rich, and of the derision of the proud. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 10, a reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came to his hometown and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of our Lord. What image comes to your mind when you think of the person of Jesus Christ? For many of us, Jesus is a divine figure of strength and power, grace and mercy, the Messiah. And our gospel reading today portrays a different image of Jesus, where he lost his power and became effectively powerless. Our gospel reading this morning from Mark takes place after Jesus engaged in two acts of powerful healing and authority. You may remember last week that Jesus healed an unnamed woman who was suffering from hemorrhaging for more than 10 years. When she touched his tunic, the bleeding stopped and she was immediately healed. That same day, Jesus brought Jairus' daughter back to life. Jesus' presence was a powerful one. He healed the sick and those with unclean spirits. People traveled from near and far to be in his presence. He shared the good news of God through his preaching and teaching. He brought hope to the hopeless and a promise for a better future. So, when he goes back home, you think he would have been welcomed with open arms, that folks would have been happy to see him, that they would have been empowered to hear the word and share in his love. One would think that they would have been proud of this hometown boy whose radical love was changing the world. But they were not. The townsfolk took offense to his teachings and they questioned who Jesus had become. They questioned his identity. They questioned his power, asking one another, is this not Jesus the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? It's important to note that Judas is not Judas Iscariot here, and his unnamed sisters. In the eyes of the town folk, how could Jesus be the Messiah? The town folks lacked trust and faith in God. Now, perhaps there was some jealousy. Remember that perfect imperfectness that I mention most every week, and resistance on their part. Perhaps there was fear in their hearts. In accepting Jesus as the Messiah, as being all powerful, they would have had to look deeply at themselves and how they treated one another, and even how they had been treated. Their views of the world would be challenged, and their view of power would be confronted. Remember that many of them would have been living under the power and rule of Roman oppression, hence the fear and distrust. Jesus felt all that the townsfolk were feeling, and the lack of faith rendered him powerless. Sure, he healed a few folks, but the doubt was apparent and he could do no more. Now, Jesus could have walked away from that resistance and the fear of the hometown crowd, but as we all know, that is not how God works. This is where the grace and mercy of a loving God and the power of the Holy Spirit made their entrance, offering hope and love to a people who were in desperate need of hope and love. Jesus called the disciples together and he sent them out into the countryside. He sent them out two by two to share the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and the love that God had to share. He asked them to take nothing on their journey, no food and no money. They were to rely solely on the folks they met along the way to give them what they needed. If resistance was met or they were unwelcome, they were to simply shake the dust off their feet and move on to the next house or town. Talk about faith and trust. And that is exactly what the disciples did. They went out and proclaimed God's love. They cast out unclean spirits and they healed the sick. And they did so with courage. They were the hands and feet of Jesus in a weary world, allowing the Holy Spirit to weave her way in, through, and around their lives. As the church, we are invited and sent out to do the same. We are sent out to share and proclaim the good news of God to a weary and broken world through our own actions of healing and love. Just as God was active in the lives of the 12, God is active in our lives as well. We are invited to partner with God to show mercy and grace to those we meet in the ordinary of our lives. We do this not to earn God's favor. We do this not to earn God's love or to reserve our place in heaven. As a church and as people of faith, we do what we do in response to God's invitation, in response to the love that God has shown to us. We do it because we are loved, and we want to share that unconditional love of others because it feels good. In the waters of our baptism, we were named and claimed as beloved children of God. We were chosen to go out with purpose, to share God's love, not to overpower or manipulate, but to simply love as we have been loved. The disciples would have met resistance on their journey, and Jesus knew that, hence the passage in our reading asking them to shake the dust off their sandals and move on. Perhaps the folks they were visiting were not ready. Perhaps they were like the townsfolk of Jesus' hometown, stuck in their own comparisons, jealousy, and complaints. Throughout the journey of our lives and in our journey of faith, we too will meet resistance. Look at our world today. It seems to be full of resistance at almost every corner. There is resistance to truth, resistance to leadership, resistance to science, resistance to diversity, resistance to equality, resistance to reconciliation, and resistance to change. How many times have you heard over the past 16 months, "I just want things to return to normal"? The old normal was no longer working. We need to reflect on what a new normal will look like, whatever that may be. But there needs to be change. And the resistance that we feel can weigh us down and lead to doubt. But we too must follow in Jesus' footsteps and shake the dust off our feet and keep on going. We keep loving and we keep trusting. We keep the faith and we lean into the courage of God, even when it is hard to do so, knowing that God is still working in us, inviting us to be in relationship with God and with one another. An enlivening example of this was shared throughout our nation on Canada Day this past week. So many joined together to commemorate and mourn the lives lost at residential school sites across Canada. The Indigenous community has known this for years, as their children were taken away and they never returned home. We, as settlers, had little knowledge that these schools even existed, let alone the lives that were senselessly lost. And on Canada Day, amidst a sea of orange t-shirts, peaceful rallies took place across our great country. The winds of the Holy Spirit were blowing through our country, offering a mutual coming together that crossed boundaries of culture and resistance. We still have so much more to do. We still have much more to learn and much more listening to do. As children of God, we are equipped to be agents of change in the church and the world through the grace, mercy, and power of Jesus Christ. We are vessels through which God's action and love are continually filling us up so that we may fill the lives of all around us with healing, love, hope, and power. May we live into this each day of our lives. Amen. We will now listen to our hymn of the day, Spirit of Gentleness.